VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk on VCY America as we talk about the issues impacting us across this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, what is happening in our world today may seem like chaos and upheaval to you, but for globalists, this is all part of the plan. You see, for there to be a great reset, everything must fall apart, including such things as your personal privacy, your personal property, our healthcare system, the supply chain, our economic system, our political system, even our spiritual system. So while it appears that COVID is causing the world to take a few steps back, it's actually advancing globalism a few steps forward. So where is this all headed? Well, here to discuss the issues with us today, we welcome back Gary Ka. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. He is the editor of Hope for the World Update. He's a former government trade specialist and an author. He's the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana State Government. Gary, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be with you.
So we've got a whole lot to break down today, and while I'll be addressing COVID a whole lot more in depth Thursday with Twyla Brace, we can't help but escape the conversation on this as well today, Gary, because while word is out of Africa that this new Omicron COVID variant is mild, yet we've got the governor of New York calling for a state of emergency. We've got upheaval taking place around the world. And I know it all ties into this globalist goals advancing here. So if you could address even how COVID itself, the things we're seeing right now, and its many variants, how it's being used to advance this globalist agenda.
Yeah, it's also ridiculous, isn't it? And yet predictable at the same time. Every new strain that comes out gives the powers that be another excuse to try to lock down and clamp down on people. And part of the agenda behind this is to bring the global economy as close as possible to a standstill in order to introduce a whole new economic system that is waiting. And it's hard for people maybe to believe that there would be a number of people, hundreds if not a few thousand globally, that are networking together, cooperating together on this agenda, which seems so diabolical, you know, to try to bring the global economy to a standstill so they can introduce a new economy that will be much more centralized and control-oriented. It's very evil, but that evil does exist. And we're looking at people who, in their minds, have turned the truth upside down. Some of them have convinced themselves that they're doing a good thing, that somehow this will unite the planet, level the playing field, redistribute income from some of the wealthier countries to the poorer countries, and all these different things, bring about world peace because countries won't be able to fight each other anymore if there's one government over the entire world. But yet, most people don't ask the questions, what would happen in a world government if those in charge are actually bad guys? Where do we run to then? There's no place left to run and hide, of course, because our checks and balances would be completely gone. And so that's why these individuals cannot totally be upfront about where they're going with this, except in their private meetings. And some things do leak out from those meetings. We know they do want a world government. There's no doubt about that. The World Economic Forum people are pushing for a global government with a global economy and a single global currency system, an electronic monetary means of exchange. That much we know for sure, but as far as exactly how to bring it about and what their timetable is, that's been pretty secretive, although a number of articles, good articles, have been written on it, quoting some of these globalists. So we're headed down that path. The question, Jim, is when will it all hit the fan? You know, yeah. I mean, it's unfolding quite rapidly, but at the same time, as you and I were talking about it earlier, people are waking up more and more quickly, and there's beginning to be a pretty strong pushback. And I think that's telling the globalists they're running out of time. The clock is ticking. Which means probably they're going to do some drastic things in the next few months to create or make worse certain existing crises in order to try to bring in their agenda before they lose control of the situation.
Well, you see, you use the term drastic measures, and Gary, what we're seeing take place, I mean, there is such a mindset to get everybody to receive the shot that we were seeing some drastic action taking place, like in Australia, New Zealand, and Austria, and other locations as well. I mean, some of the measures there are just mind-boggling.
Well, they are, and thousands of people now are rising up. In Vienna, Austria especially, thousands of people were marching in the streets a few days ago. Some of those protests have continued, and they started after the Austrian government announced a nationwide lockdown. And they've also announced that beginning on February 1st, the vaccine would be mandated among all adults. And so they're really cracking down, the government is. And what's interesting is, and of course, my father lived in Austria for a time toward the end of the war, and what's interesting is in World War II, once Hitler annexed Austria, the way he convinced the Austrian people to go along with the rounding up of the Jews was that he convinced them through propaganda and the secret police that the Jews had a very lethal disease, and if they were exposed to the public, it would spread to them and kill them as well, so they needed to be isolated. A lot of people are not aware of that, but the Austrian people as a whole were not a strongly anti-Semitic people. In fact, Vienna had some of the top Jewish artists and cultural leaders in the world, and yet look at what happened. And so this time, it appears that the crackdown is on the unvaccinated, and they're going to be the ones ostracized and discriminated against and isolated.
And
so
blamed.
Very sad. But people, for the most part, do not learn from history, and those who do, they are making their voices heard right now. And it's important that all of us who are informed on this stand up now while we can. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if enough of us do, the Lord may give us some more time on this. That and repentance is so important too. Just standing up against something, that's not what gives us favor with God. It's a true repentance and turning back to the Lord and humbling ourselves and taking a stand against what is evil. And I do believe it's not too late for the Lord to still intervene and push this back for a time.
And as we're talking about the unvaxxed, they're also being blamed for so much that is happening. Gary, I find it very interesting that Israel National News reported just today that Israel has 34 suspected cases of Omicron COVID variant. But they have two confirmed carriers, and those confirmed carriers, according to Israel National News, are doctors at Sheba Hospital, both that are fully vaccinated, including having received the booster dose.
I know. Again, this evidence is coming out now. It's been available for a couple of months, but it hasn't gotten a lot of coverage through the media. I had something come in over the weekend that cites an Israeli study, which revealed that vaccinated individuals were 27 times more likely to get a symptomatic COVID infection than those with natural immunity. 27 times more likely. Mm-hmm. And we do have boots on the ground in Israel, some very strong contacts, and it's true. There are more people getting severe cases of COVID in Israel now who've been vaccinated than the unvaccinated. But see, if that information gets out around the world, that kills this whole narrative, because why get a vaccine if you're worse off afterwards than before? So, again, it's a time for Christians to spread this information, credible information, quoting doctors and studies that are out there that make this case, because there's a real information war going on right now. And I'm thankful to you, Jim, for interviewing some of these doctors. Mm-hmm. You've had a number of them on, and I know you've got others coming up who make a very strong case.
Gary, one other issue on this, and that is the implementation of vax passports or proof of vax having received the shot. And some are being combined with other personal information to form what's being called a digital ID. If you could comment on this digital ID that's being aggressively pursued.
Yeah, really, this so-called pandemic and vaccine are a pathway to a mandatory digital ID that will contain one's vaccination record, which many are calling the health passport or wellness passport, along with other personal information. And it will ultimately be required to buy or sell or to do just about anything if these people have their way. And we've been tracking developments in Africa where they've been experimenting with this. And I know I've mentioned this on a past program, but it's worth mentioning again. There are three organizations that are as much or more involved in all of this than any of the others. And they include Gavi, which is the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, MasterCard, and Trust Stamp. And Gavi represents the vaccine side of things, MasterCard, the financial aspect, and Trust Stamp, the technology on how to actually get this into people. They actually want to place this technology into people as part of a vaccine. So that you can be tracked. You can also use the signal that is given off through the semiconducting crystals that would be injected into people. That signal identifies you, gives you a different identity from someone else, and would enable you to be able to buy or sell, subtracting or adding to your account. So this is all being combined into one, a biometric digital identity system, vaccination records, and a payment system into a single cohesive platform. And a lot of the funding for this has come from, guess who? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Wow.
It's the same, you know, the same players. They're not the only ones, but they're playing a very lead role in all of this. And so we do document that in our article called The COVID Agenda and Mark of the Beast Technology that we have posted at our website, garycaw.org, so people can look at all that for themselves and make up their minds and do further research.
Gary, just one more matter here in our economic system. We've got a lot to cover here today as to where we're headed. And I ask this because I look at President Biden's pick to be comptroller of the currency, this Saul Omarova, who is one who has spoken out openly about destroying personal bank accounts. She wants some bankrupt oil companies as well. I mean, this would be the one who's the comptroller of the currency. What is the big picture here? What is the end game? Where are they wanting to take us?
Again, as hard as it may be to believe, these people want to crash the system. At the very least, they want to bring it to a standstill, if not actually completely crash it. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen the stock market today, but it's beginning to react. It's been down quite heavily yesterday and again today. We'll see where that goes. But ultimately, people will put two and two together and realize this is not sustainable. You know, when you have supply chain issues that have been created, when you've got forced shutdowns because of COVID, and you've got all kinds of other crises lurking around the world that I'm sure the globalists will fuel and turn into full-fledged crises if they can, that's going to make it possible to try to introduce a new global system that will allegedly solve all of this.
Gary
Kahn, you create the crisis, though.
Gary Kahn with us here today on Crosstalk. A quick break, and he's keeping his eye on the Vatican as well. We'll find out in the next segment what's going on. Stay tuned. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was Genesis written as poetry?
No, it wasn't, Chris, but this has been a favorite claim of liberals, subtly indicating that Genesis was a work of art and not meant to be taken as literal history. But this has been shown to be false. At the Institute for Creation Research, we've investigated this claim. It was found by statistical analysis of the verb tenses used in the Genesis account of creation that it's about the least poetic passage in all the Old Testament. It was written as sober narrative history and was meant to be understood by its readers as history. Of course, even if it were poetry, it doesn't mean it's not to be believed. Who says God can't write with flair? But he wrote Genesis as a sober historical account, and we need to believe it as such. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, Globalist Goals Advancing. Gary Kaa is with us today, founder and director of Hope for the World. His website, and you'll find articles there, GaryKaa.org. Kaa is spelled K-A-H, GaryKaa.org. Stay tuned as this segment we're going to be getting into matters pertaining to the Vatican, what's happening there, as well as the sites on we're just talking about Vienna a bit ago. We're going to reengage with Vienna, what's going on with Iran right now and Israel. So lots here in this segment. But before we leave the COVID aspect, Gary, I know that there's a additional thoughts here pertaining to the whole matter of the shot and what is happening, its impact upon the population. There are those who are trying to downplay results, saying, hey, we need to stop testing the even those who have had the shot so we don't, rack up numbers of people, have to report people who are having COVID with the shot and so forth. But there was just a lot going on medically regarding this various issue. And before we leave this topic, and you've got a little bit more information to share.
Yeah, this article came in over the weekend. It's called What Harm Does the COVID Vaccine Do to Your Body? And it's written by Dr. Don Boyes, spelled B-O-Y-S. And he was a former state representative also here in our state of Indiana. And it's a very good article. We don't have time to go into all the details, but he says, we're told that the danger is the spike protein in the COVID-19 virus. And with the vaccines, the threat is the spike protein itself. However, while the spike protein found in the virus is bad, the spike protein your body produces in response to the vaccine is far worse. That is because the synthetic mRNA in the vaccine has been programmed to instruct your cells to produce an unnatural, genetically engineered spike protein. Specific alterations make it far more toxic than that found in the virus itself. And then a Canadian immunologist, a well-known doctor by the name of Byram Bridle, B-R-I-D-L-E, states that both the vaccine and the spike protein are expelled in breast milk and could be fatal for babies. Bridle says vaccinated breastfeeding women are in danger of feeding a baby contaminated milk. Mothers are not doing good by transferring antibodies, but are transferring the vaccine itself as well as the spike protein, which could result in bleeding and or blood clots in their child. Additionally, there have been 1,969 fetal deaths so far recorded following COVID-19 shots as of October 1st of this year. So it would be higher now that we're about 2 months beyond that. So he says, what sane woman would take such risks with her unborn child? Also, a final quote here. Again, this is from Dr. Byram Bridle. Says, quote, we made a big mistake. We thought the spike protein was a great target antigen. We never knew the spike protein itself was a toxin and was a pathogenic protein. So by vaccinating people, we are inadvertently inoculating them with a toxin, end quote. So I just wanted to throw that in there because we've been getting questions over the last week regarding babies where parents, mothers have in some cases, especially medical workers, have taken the vaccine and now they're pregnant and they're very concerned because of some of the information that's coming out. So if you're among those people or have relatives who, where maybe your daughter or granddaughter is pregnant and they're considering taking the vaccination, you need to read this article. Again, it's called What Harm Does the COVID Vaccine Do to Your Body? Written by Dr. Don Boyes, B-O-Y-S.
Gary Kaa with us here today. Gary, we're going to have to segue topics here today because there's much that we need to uncover. You have been keeping your eye on the Vatican. What's happening?
Well, a number of things. We've quoted Archbishop Vigano, or some people call him Vigano, in the past. He has put out some new information again, warning people to stand up and to unite. He said, it is necessary to form an international anti-globalist alliance which gathers all those who want to oppose the dictatorship, who have no intention of becoming slaves to a faceless power, who are not willing to cancel their own identity, their own individuality, their own religious faith. he goes on to say, if the attack is global, the defense must also be global. So we're beginning to see this. We're seeing various conservative organizations networking together to try to take a stand against, you know, what's being forced upon us by globalists. He had a couple of quotes here, too, that I wanted to go ahead and read this. Again, this is a Vatican insider. This isn't just anybody. And I think he's really put his life on the line, warning of some things going on within the Vatican and that this current pope is part of. He says, I quote, "For 2 years now, we've been witnessing a global coup d'etat in which a financial and ideological elite has succeeded in seizing control of part of national governments, public and private institutions, the media, the judiciary, politicians, and religious leaders. All of these, without distinction, have become enslaved to these new masters who ensure power, money, and social affirmation to their accomplices. Fundamental rights, which up until yesterday were presented as inviolable, have been trampled underfoot in the name of an emergency. Today, a health emergency. Tomorrow, an ecological emergency. And after that, an internet emergency." He goes on, "Supranational organizations financed in large measure by the conspirators of this coup d'etat are interfering in the government of individual nations and in the lives, relationships, and health of billions of people. They are doing it for money, certainly, but even more so in order to centralize power so as to establish a planetary dictatorship. It is the great reset of the World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations. It is the plan of the New World Order in which a universal republic enslaves everyone and a religion of humanity cancels faith in Christ." End quote. So that pretty much summarizes it. It really does. And I want to be careful whenever I quote a Catholic at his level. You know, he doesn't share all of our same beliefs on things, obviously. But when it comes to global government and the dangers of it, I think he's hitting the nail on the head and has really been taking a strong stand on this. Now, if you're curious about the current pope, you know, does Archbishop Vigano just not like the current pope, or is there a real reason behind him taking such a strong stand? Well, we've compiled a number of actions that Pope Francis has taken during 2021. And I'm just going to list about five of these. They include some of his own personal statements and quotes, so get ready for this. Okay, in early March 2021, an excerpt from Italian journalist Domenico Agasso's interview with Pope Francis was published in Vatican News, focusing on the COVID crisis and global responses. It was clear that the pontiff looked upon the crisis as an opportunity for global solidarity and unity. Here's what he said, quote, "If we seize the current trial as an opportunity, we can prepare for tomorrow under the banner of human fraternity, to which there is no alternative, because without an overall vision, there will be no future for anyone," end quote. And that's the latest term, human fraternity. It's another way of talking about a coming together through interfaithism of a global government regime, and the Pope makes that clear through other statements that he's made. He goes on, he says, "We can heal injustice by building a new world order based on solidarity. We need political action that is the fruit of international harmony. United in fraternity, humanity is able to face common threats," end quote. Then on April 11th, the Pope sent a letter to a meeting of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund calling for economic restructuring for, quote, "the universal common good in light of the COVID crisis." Again, the COVID crisis is being used as the trigger for all of this. His text pointed to a system of global governance. He states, I quote, "While many countries are now consolidating individual recovery plans, there remains an urgent need for a global plan that can create new or regenerate existing institutions, particularly those of global governance, and help to build a new network of international relations for advancing the integral human development of all peoples," end quote. In October, the Pope appointed globalist Jeffrey Sachs to the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences. This was a move prompting criticism from various conservative Catholic circles, and understandably so, because Sachs has a history of promoting international population control and abortion services. And this ties in also with the climate change agenda, which very closely dovetails with population control. In the past, Sachs served as an advisor to three U.N. Secretary Generals and was the director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University, which is an extremely liberal group. He was also directly involved in formulating the U.N.'s Sustainable Development Goals, again, which is all about climate change. Finally, on October 29th, the Friday before the 2021 U.N. Climate Summit in Glasgow, the Pope urged world leaders to take, quote, radical action, saying, quote, the most important lesson we can take from these crises is our need to build together so that there will no longer be any borders, barriers, or political walls for us to hide behind, end quote. One more real quick. On October 31st, the opening day of the UN Climate Summit, the Pope urged people to pray so that, quote, the cry of the earth, end quote, would be heard at the UN summit. He says, quote, today in Glasgow, in Scotland, the UN summit on climate change is starting, COP26. Let us pray so that the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor will be heard, that this meeting may give effective answers offering concrete hope to future generations. The Pope went on to say, it is time to think big, to rethink our priorities, and to replan our future. It is time to act together.
That's amazing.
It just goes on and on.
Paris
Peace Conference, November 11th, more of the same, even stronger statements.
Yeah. I mean, it really sounds like they're reading the script in the play called The Great Reset, because all of these things, you know, you talked about even eradicating borders and so forth. The border crisis we have in the U.S. right now, that's just not, improper planning or things. So much of this, Gary, is, I believe, intentional to cause disruption to the system as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, any form of nationalism is completely unaccepted. On November 11th at the Paris Peace Conference, Pope Francis said, a return to normality would also mean a return to the old social structures inspired by self-sufficiency, nationalism, protectionism, individualism, and isolation, and exclude our poorest brothers and sisters. So, you know, several of those things we would consider at the top of our list that are very important to protect. You know, self-sufficiency, nationalism, protectionism, individualism as a nation, and yet he, is against all these things. Describing the world as globalized but fractured, Francis posited current decisions as determining the trajectory of future generations. He says, this is why we need a new way out. We must work together to emerge better than before. And of course, that's in line with the theme "Build Back Better." That every globalist in the world, is repeating that phrase. We've got to get rid of nationalism, create one world without true national boundaries, one world economic system, no more paper currency, everything electronic, so that everybody can be traced and tracked and controlled. This is what they're wanting.
Gary Kaa with us here today on Crosstalk. Folks, we've got more information to unpack, so stay with us here. Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Gary Kaa is with us here. His website, Gary Kaa, K-A-H, .org. Back in a minute.
In our culture, marriage is thought to be optional, and live-in arrangements have become part of the new norm. The DVD Princess Cut tells the story of a Carolina farm girl who has dreamed all of her life of the day when Mr. Wright slips a Princess Cut diamond on her finger and affirms to love her forever. Her heart is broken multiple times, though, until she learns a new focus in her life, that true love is worth the wait. In its sequel, Princess Cut 2, underscored is the truth that love bears all things. You'll see what happens when heartache, grief, fears, and trials strike a family and is conquered by hope, courage, enduring love, and the hand of God at work. Princess Cut and its sequel, Princess Cut 2, Love Bears All Things, are now available as a two-DVD set for a donation of $25 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, you've heard the phrase, never let a crisis go to waste. You have to capitalize on that crisis. Yeah, I think it was Rahm Emanuel, and we have seen those actions that came forth from the Obama administration. By the way, and so much of this just keeps going back to COVID, and I just saw the article November 23rd on WND.com. And here's the headline. Vaccine inventor warns the future of global totalitarianism is here. America should pay attention to the severe coronavirus-related restrictions on civil liberties in Australia, Canada, and now Austria, said the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, warning that the virus increasingly is becoming a, quote, platform for advancing other agendas. He said the future of global totalitarianism is here. It's just not evenly distributed. This is Dr. Robert Malone. He's an immunologist. He's a virologist. He researched the use of messenger RNA in vaccines at the Salk Institute back in the 1980s. But in an interview Monday, he said that the first country to require every citizen be vaccinated is the most egregious example of the deployment of a totalitarian approach to this whole thing. Gary, he's warning about how this is being used to bring about totalitarianism. Those are the very things that you have been warning about for some time, and this is basically the inventor of the mRNA.
Yeah, and what he invented it for, you know, it's not being used at all for those purposes, and so I am so glad he is speaking up, and he is... His voice is being heard increasingly, and we've got to do it now, Jim, because even 2 or 3 months down the road, as quickly as things are moving in other parts of the world, you know, globalists realize they're running out of time, they're getting desperate, they're pushing harder and harder to try to get this thing done, so we've got to speak up now while we can, and again, hopefully the Lord will intervene and we'll have some more time. Just another nugget. I've got so much stuff spread out here on my desk I'm trying to quote from as evidence, but this ties into it. On October 8th, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, known as the OECD, announced a deal to create a minimum 15% global tax on corporations to support the new digital economy. And 136 nations, including the United States, have agreed to this. Yep. This just took place in October, a few weeks ago. And again, this is all coming out of this COVID crisis, this agenda, this push toward globalization, using the COVID crisis and fanning the flames of it to bring about all these drastic changes, what would really amount to a global health dictatorship, and that's what Dr. Malone is warning about, and many others. So it is coming in quickly. Also, the World Economic Forum meeting is coming up January 17th to the 21st, and the areas of key discussion will include digital technologies, how these will be used in light of what's happening with COVID and the World Health Projects, and also the climate agenda and energy issues. They're bringing all of these together and saying these are all reasons why we have to have a global system of government in place.
Well, friends, I mean, this is no wonder why we see all that's taking place. And the head of the World Economic Forum talked about, Schwab who talked about, we can't go back to normal. And normal is gone. And it's all part of this great disruption that needs to take place for this great reset to come about, as we're seeing these crises that are popping up all over the place. But, folks, it's all working toward that common end. Gary, there's so much, as you mentioned, much to talk about here. But as we speak here this week, there have been meetings going on in Vienna, Austria, pertaining to the Iran nuclear deal. Iran is wanting sanctions lifted. And we just had Israel's prime minister take to the airwaves. He's put out on the internet. He made a message to the world that a murderous regime like Iran should not be rewarded. And he even said right in his brief address, it's about 90 seconds or so, he said, just a couple days ago, the senior command of Iran's armed forces declared, and I quote, "We will not back off from the annihilation of Israel, not even one millimeter." And Gary, I'd like you to bring up about what we're seeing take place in the Middle East right now. And Israel, of course, is in the crosshairs of Iran, as Iran is appealing to the nations to have all their sanctions lifted and some money to go on the side. And we've got the president of the United States now, Joe Biden, who is wanting to get back into this Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, you know, with the fall of Afghanistan, you now have a radical terrorist network stretching from Afghanistan, actually Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, through into Syria and southern Lebanon, where Iran has a lot of its proxies located. So this is unprecedented. They have a straight shot right into Israel, and Israel knows that. And over the weekend, we heard from some of our sources in Israel that the military planes, Israel's military planes, they're up in the skies all over the place. And they said in the past that always meant that war was coming. What I believe is that Israel, in response to some of the statements that have been coming from Iran, especially recently, about the fact that they want to utterly destroy Israel, completely annihilate it, Israel is flexing its military muscle right now, I think hoping that Iran might back down. If they don't, we cannot rule out that Israel will make a preemptive strike pretty soon, because the rumor is, and I know this has been floating around for years, but I think really Iran is very close to having the nuclear bomb if they don't already have it. And so without the U.S. backing Israel and Israel kind of being on its own now, they're having to make some difficult decisions. And I think there's at least a 50-50 chance that in the next few months, Israel's going to strike Iran to try to knock out their nuclear capabilities. And if that happens, again, this time you don't have the U.S. presence like you did in the past in the middle to prevent a war possibly from taking place. You're going to have a straight run that Iran can make right through Iraq, Syria, southern Lebanon, at Israel. And this time, I think there will be heavy casualties even in Israel. Whether it would be the beginning of World War III or simply a regional conflict, I don't know, but it would be nasty. And this would be yet another crisis that globalists could then argue is a reason why we need to have a world government. Because one of the biggest reasons they give for world government is to bring about world peace. Because under a world government, they allege, you would no longer have individual militaries of all these different countries as you do today, and so there would finally be world peace. So follow this scenario. This is a potential scenario of globalists, the way I see things unfolding. They've got the COVID crisis already in full swing with other strains coming out. There will be further lockdowns. They've really been trumpeting the climate crisis, especially Pope Francis, over and over throughout the months of September and October. They're building that up more and more. Now imagine if there's a war that erupts in the Middle East, and if just one or two nuclear bombs were to be dropped. Hopefully that won't happen, but it could. We can't rule that out. Then you have an ecological crisis on top of everything. And if you couple that with either a cyber attack or an EMP type of situation in certain countries around the world, you've got a complete meltdown of the current world order, which is really what they want. And then they can introduce their new order, saying we don't have a choice. We have to go this route because the old way of doing things is done. Welcome to the new world order. And, of course, they would usher in their global reset, which is already in progress, and have a one-world system from A to Z. But there's also a religious component to all of this, Jim. And, you know, how can you pull all the countries of the world together under a single global system and have it work if you still have people clinging very strongly to their religious beliefs that that tend to contradict each other? And so let me take this next step. The New World Order religious headquarters are to open up in 2022. This is an article from September 27th. It says the Higher Committee of Human Fraternity, which again is a term that has come out of the Vatican, is now constructing a one-world religious headquarters in the United Arab Emirates called the Abrahamic Family House, which will consist of a church, a mosque, a Jewish temple, all located together in a complex in the capital of the United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi. It's almost finished. They've already released pictures of it. It'll be done within the next few months. And this project has been monitored closely by Pope Francis and Grand Imam Ahmed Al-Tayyib of Egypt, who together signed a document, as you know, a couple of years ago in 2019. It's called the Document on Human Fraternity, which actually inspired this move. And so in the Middle East, there is this push in some of the countries toward interfaithism. Of course, the big prize would be Jerusalem itself and having an interfaith headquarters there. But this complex that is being built right now in Abu Dhabi, I believe, is a prelude in that direction. So this pope is literally, he's working on all fronts. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know how he sleeps. You know, for an 80-year-old, he's got a lot of energy, I have to say. He's working on the climate change agenda. He's at the forefront of that. He's been dubbed, named as the spiritual leader of the globalists, of the world leaders. A number of people have referred to him as such, including Vigano. You've got him involved in the socialist side of things from an economic standpoint, making arguments in that direction. He's got his representatives attending meetings of the World Economic Forum, and he's pushing this interfaith agenda, bringing the world's religions together. So he is one busy person. He's determined. And I think the globalists would like nothing better than to try to solidify their agenda while Pope Francis is pope, because he's all in.
Well, Gary, and we're seeing the collapse of the church as a, you know, not every church, but of evangelical churches across this nation as well. I mean, we have churches that are caving in on cardinal doctrines that they've held to, biblical doctrines, for so long, and all of a sudden, well, that doesn't matter anymore. We've got churches now that are now saying that vaccination is becoming a standard, whether or not you can come into the church building or not. You know, either if you haven't received the shot, you may not come into the church building. Others will separate their congregation by those who have had the shot, those who have not. We are seeing a caving in on the whole LGBT agenda in so many different fronts as well. But there's just a caving in of the church at the same time.
There is. In fact, I was just taking note recently of a church down in Atlanta where those 12 and under weren't allowed in the church at all. Those who were allowed, anyone over the age of 12, if they've been vaccinated or tested and under certain conditions, they were allowed in. But anyone under the age of 12 wasn't even allowed in the church building because vaccines weren't available to them yet. So they had to stay at home and resume in virtual meetings. I mean, just drastic, ridiculous measures. And again, we talked at the outset of this program about how now in many countries of the world, you've got more people who've been vaccinated getting very ill with COVID than those who have not been vaccinated. And if the media would only share that, it would turn this whole agenda around within 2 weeks. I mean, that's all it would take, because it would tell everybody this isn't working. There's a bigger agenda behind it. We don't like it. But the mass media, 90% plus, are still beating the same drumbeat of the need for COVID shutdowns. Every new strain that comes out is worse than the previous one, even though the evidence doesn't show it. And so Christians now, especially pastors, need to take a stand. They cannot be afraid of losing their tax-exempt status, because if you don't take a stand now, you're going to lose all that anyway and become enslaved. So please, please, prayerfully go before the Lord and take a stand.
Gary Kaa with us here today. Folks, we're going to take time for a few phone calls. Write to your question here at 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I've just spent 3 days and hours on television going through the U.S. Supreme Court complaint written by lead attorney Kurt Olson, also a former U.S. Navy SEAL. This is a complaint that is to be filed eventually with the U.S. Supreme Court related to election fraud, particularly in the states of Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. For those who say there was no voter fraud, This 75-page complaint, not to mention the many pages that are the exhibits, well, it's filled with information that even I didn't know about, and I've been studying this for over a year. My friends, we have a serious problem with the issue of elections being free and fair in America. The full complaint can be read as a public service at frankspeech.com, and then just look for the banner, Supreme Court Complaint. Click there and read it. 75 pages every American should read if we want to remain a free nation with free elections. Thank you.
Well, friends, our lines are packed here on Crosstalk today. We've unpacked a whole lot of information as well on the program with Gary Ka. And we would like to encourage you to grab a link of the program. It should be up on our website within a couple hours. Share this link with others. If you need hard copies or CDs of the program, we do make them available for a donation of $6 in order to help us with the duplication and postage expense going to you. They're available by calling our main switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. To obtain a CD of today's program, that's 800-729-9829. Even if you want to get multiple copies in order to share with others. Gary does put out a newsletter, and you'll find the details at Gary Ka, K-A-H, GaryKa.org. You can find information there to sign up as well. Very important. We're going to squeeze some calls in here, and then let's see. Let's begin with Spencer, Tennessee. And Ed, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is, do you think the Pope is a false prophet, or is he too old?
Well, good question, Ed. Right now, if things were to come about quickly in the next 2 years or so, there has never been a pope more heavily involved on every aspect of globalization than this current pope. He is also the first Jesuit pope, and so I believe one reason globalists are pushing so hard is because they've got their man in there right now who they want, and they'd like to be able to wrap all this up while Pope Francis is in. So we'll have to wait and see, but I definitely believe he's a candidate.
And, friend, you ask, is he a false prophet? I'll tell you this, when we've done interviews with Mike Gendron, what he says does not measure up with the teachings of Scripture. They are diametrically opposed to one another. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Gary what role he thought Barack Hussein Obama would play in this, and the fact that he spoke at the UN summit, and also he's been voted the most admired man in the world for quite a few years.
Thank you, Merle.
Well, there is a push among some to try to get Barack Obama into the position in the future of being UN Secretary General. We'll have to wait and see if that happens. I believe he'd be a shoo-in among many if it comes to that. But even if he doesn't, you know, he's one of just a handful of presidents who stayed on in Washington, D.C. after their term was over. And he's got an immense amount of power behind the scenes over the current administration. So bear that in mind. Whether he's officially in a position of leadership at the U.N. or another institution or not, he wields a lot of power from behind the scenes.
Let's go to Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. What they've done with this virus, it seems like they're moving us toward some kind of totalitarianism, because that's what always happens when they psychologically do these things with people. And I've been thinking a lot about the Stockholm Syndrome, the way the virus has affected people, and the Munchausen Syndrome also, which I know that sounds kind of worldly, but I wondered if you'd comment on those.
Okay. Gary?
Well, ever since vaccines have been around, it's kind of laid the groundwork for a scenario like this. I'm not saying previous vaccines were all bad by any means. I'm not saying that. But there has been a lot of coordination through the United Nations, and it's many different health-related agencies now. And in our own country, through the NIH, the Institute of National
National Institutes of
Infectious
Health.
NIAID is what I'm trying to say, and these other organizations, and a lot of coordination around the world with these vaccines, so it lends itself to globalization because it's a global pandemic, and so they're going to milk this for everything they have.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Zoe. And Gary, I don't know that we have ever seen such the number of adverse effects to a vaccine. I mean, when the vaccines came out earlier, and whether it be swine flu or whatever, when there were so many adverse effects, they pulled it, but we're not seeing that.
Yeah, and they haven't done this, even though, based on what statistics you look at, there are at least 20 times the amount of side effects with these vaccines as some of the earlier vaccines, you know, that we've become accustomed to over the generations.
As of November 19th, nearly 1 million, it's 913,266 adverse effects have been reported on VAERS. But keep in mind, that's just a fraction of those that have actually taken place. Jerry, Whitewater, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. Has anybody asked this Pope a question as to who does he anticipate this one world global leader to be? And everybody, please, we need to be praying and mm-hmm. asking the good Lord Jesus to intervene, because this affects everybody, not in this country, but the whole world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I don't know if anybody's ever asked the Pope that particular question, Gary, but certainly this push toward this one world agenda is coming from the Vatican, as it's from other sources as well.
It is, and there's a vast alliance of a couple hundred organizations, at least, that we're aware of, networking together. And you've got some within that network that are more powerful than others, but right at the top of the list would be the World Economic Forum and the Vatican, no question about that. And they are also networking with some of the leaders of Islam, as well as the other religions. And so they've got to cover all the bases. So you've got a number of they would call themselves current Christian leaders, who are also involved in this. I remember years ago when I was in the World Constitution of Parliament Association, I saw the name of the former president of the World Council of Churches, which now should come as no surprise to us, given, you know, the history of that organization, especially the more recent history. So you've got various so-called Christian organizations trending toward interfaithism that are supporting the Vatican's mm-hmm. agenda. By the way, the name of that individual was Cynthia Waddell, a former president of the World Council of Churches.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Anyway.
Gary, I apologize to other callers. We're less than 45 seconds. But, Gary, I know you don't want to leave people with a spirit of fear. You want to offer them hope.
That's right. You know, I was just reading in the Bible today, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You know, at this time, we're coming into the Christmas season. We've got to remember that Jesus is that light. He's mm-hmm. the Messiah. And through him, we have the guarantee of eternal life and being in his presence forever. And that trumps anything that man can do to us in this world. And we've got to remember that every day when we get up, remind ourselves of that. We need to be walking closely with the Lord at this time more than ever. And yet, at the same time, take a strong stand for him in every way that we can.
Amen. Amen. GaryKah.org is a website, K-A-H. Gary, thank you so much for unpacking a lot of information here in a short period of time.
You bet. Thank you, Jim.
And folks, certainly keep your eyes heavenward, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And certainly we need to keep our eyes focused on him. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.